Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud, Nida Chav Zayin, Nida 27a, pagination is 53. We're about a third of the way down on the page. At the end of a line, Aleph Reish, Omar Rav, Ovin Bar Rav Ada, Omar Rav Menachem, Ishkafar Sheorim, Vamrula Beish Sheorim, the following story. Maisa, it once happened. There was a fetus that remained in the womb in its own gestation for 3 months after its fellow, meaning after its twin, was already born. He said, and we have them here today in the audience in the Beis HaMedrash. Uman Ninu, and who am I referring to? Yehuda v'Chizkiya b'nei Rabbi Chiya. Yehuda and Chizkiya, the children of Rabbi Chiya, that there was conception, there was pregnancy, and one of the twins was born, and the second twin took its merry time and didn't come out until 3 months later, as it's being described. V'ha'amar mar, don't we have a statement that ein isha misaberes v'chazeres misaberes, that a woman cannot become pregnant while she's pregnant? So the assumption right away was that she became pregnant and there was a 9-month pregnancy. And during that pregnancy, a second pregnancy occurred. And the Gemara says that can't be. So what's the explanation here? Amar Abaye, Abaye explained, tipa achas hoisa. It was one droplet, meaning one conception. V'nischalko l'shtayim, and the twins were formed because that original conception material split into two. Echad nigmar atzuras b'tchilas zayin. One of them finished up as an early pregnancy. Today we tend to call such cases preemies, but in their time, it seems that a 7-month gestation was a healthy, normal, acceptable, even without major medical intervention. It was healthy. And the birth occurred then. The echod besoftes, and the second one remained. And at 9 months, it was born. And that's the description, 3-month gap. One was born in the 7th. And one was born in the 9th from the time of conception. So certainly an intriguing case, certainly what to comment on. For now, we will continue in the Gemara. Shilyo bevayis abayis tomei. We did the mission in the previous session that if the afterbirth is in a house, the house is tomei, because we assume there's a fetus there, we assume there's a child, or was a child. Tanu Rabbanon, we learned. Shilyo bevayis habayis tomei, lo sha shilyo velad, ela she'en shilyo she'en velad ima, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, who matches the Tanakama of the Mishnah that we did on Chavav Amud Aleph 26a, says that the afterbirth, even if it doesn't present with a fetus, but for sure there was a fetus at the time it was emitted from the uterus, we assume there was a fetus, and therefore whatever's in the house is tamei. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Shimon, Mitarim. But these other opinions, including Rabbi Shimon, who's the one that was mentioned in the Mishnah, they say, Tahar, you don't see a fetus now. We assume Nimok Havalad, the child disintegrated. Amru lo l'Reb Meir. They said to Reb Meir, who was being strict and assuming there is a fetus, or was, Iyata Moda, don't you agree, Shemotziuhu b'seifa l'veis achitzon, that if they would take this afterbirth in a basket to a different place, Shuhu Tahar, that it's tar. You don't see a fetus. You don't have to assume there's a dead body there. Amalohen, avol. He said to them, indeed. The word avol sometimes means but, But in this application and similar applications, it means indeed. It's an affirmation in an exclamation form. We find it by the brothers with Yosef. Avol ashemim anachnu. Indeed, we are at fault. We find it in Tachnun. Avol anachnu va'avosenu chatanu. Indeed, we and our ancestors have sinned. So the word avol here is an affirmation. He's agreeing, indeed. It is interesting, for those who watch languages, that in German there's such a word, jawohl, indeed, as an explanation, as an exclamation, yesuri, indeed. Velama, the Gemara continues, explaining Reb Meir, Lefisha Eino, because the fetus can't be seen, so we don't have to assume it's here if you're moving it to a different house. Amrulo, so they said back to him, Keshem She'eino Beves Achitzon, just like we don't assume that it gets transferred to the new house. Kach Eino Beves HaPanimi, so even in the original house where the woman miscarried, we don't have to attribute the presence of the fetus when we see an afterbirth. Amalohen, he answered them, Ein adome, it's not similar, nimok pam achas, a effect of disintegration on the afterbirth, lenimok beis pa'amim, compared to twice. And when you're transferring it to a different house, at that point we don't have to attribute it, but when it's just coming out, when that's the only agitation involved, we do assume that it was still there as it left the uterus and entered the birth canal. Yosef Rav Papa, Achori Rav Bibi, Kamei Rav Hamnuna, V'Yosef Ka'amar. Rav Papa considered this that was said, and he stated as follows, My time with Rav Shimon, what's the reasoning of Rav Shimon that we assume that the Vlad is not here? Whenever you have Tumah and it got mixed in with other things, it's batal, it's nullified. And that's what's going on here. Certainly there was a Vlad, because Ein Shilya B'lo Vlad, the afterbirth would not be formed without a child. But that material, that original child, has disintegrated and has been nullified together with the other materials that are there. And that's the explanation of Rabbi Shimon. Amaluhu Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, Hainu nami tamayu de Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yossi. And that's also the reason for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, the colleagues of Rabbi Shimon who joined him in that ruling. Achichu alei. They laughed at Rav Papa. Maishino, pshita. Of course, they're grouped together. Their reasoning must be the same. Amar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said, Afilu ki ha milsa leima inish. Even such a thing that seems so elementary, why would I think they have a different reason? But we worked it through. We came to the articulation of our conclusion that the other two opinions grouped together with Reb Shimon are the same reason as Reb Shimon, and we shouldn't start assuming that maybe they had a different reason to come up with the same conclusion. You know, getting it really clear, it's worth it. V'lo nishta kamei rabbei. And don't be silent in front of your Rebbe. Work it through and discuss it. Mishum Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Pasuk in Mishle, Im Navalta Bisnasei, if you exert yourself even to the point of disgracing yourself on some level, Bisnasei, that's going to raise you up. V'im Zamosa Yad Lepeh, and if you muzzle yourself, if you're quiet, then indeed you're silencing yourself and you won't reach your potential. So we start off certainly in a Perek HaMapeles dealing with a miscarriage, dealing with all kinds of details that are being discussed. But we end up here with Rav Papa's lesson, whatever it is that you're studying, work it through with its detail. Don't take things for granted. Consider all the options and truly develop the Gemara in front of your Rebbe, confirming that your conclusion is correct, because that will bring you to tremendous success. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.